Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Not Suitable for Anyone. As always, I'm your host, Patrick Anderson, and unfortunately, I couldn't line up a guest for this week. I reached out to several people and just could not make the schedules work. I am lining up those guests for later on down the road, and there are some great, great shows coming your way. I can promise you that. Especially next week's. It's another special one to me. You're not going to want to miss it. I promise you that. But rather than skip a week, I did have a topic that I wanted to address this week, and I thought it was perfect opportunity, and it was something that really only made sense to do solo. So that's what we're going to do. It's going to be a solo show today, and I hope you're okay with that. I'm okay with that because I think it's going to be neat. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm actually really kind of looking forward to this. I normally, have to save up all my thoughts on one movie and then try and hold a lot of that stuff in my head and put it out and hopefully try to make the content interesting. But we're going to do something a little different this week. I've got a lot of movies I'm going to talk about, including some that I actually don't know anything about. I'm going to react and sort of experience them more or less in real time with you guys. So I think that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So, let's get into it, I suppose. If you are active on social media, in particular what they call film Twitter or horror Twitter, and on Facebook, in the collectors groups and the horror groups, over the course of the month of September and October, you were probably noticed an uptick in posts about a particular boxed set being made available from Shout Factory. Of course, I'm talking about the Friday the 13th box set. It went on sale over the summer, made a lot of big buzz. It was around $130 to $150, had every single Friday the 13th movie in it, including the remake, including Freddy vs. Jason, and including discs with bonus content and so forth. If you're in any of these collectors groups, there were tons, and I mean tons, of these posts. There were posts when people were ordering them. There were posts from people saying that they'd been shipped, or maybe even just that they were getting ready to be shipped. And then the box set started showing up. And my God, everybody was posting pictures of their box set. And don't worry, because they weren't all identical, because apparently, depending on which printing run you got, you might have a more bluish-looking package or a more purplish-looking package on the boxing, the packaging. Great. And I just could not give a shit. I'm by no means hating on the Friday the 13th franchise. I understand these films mean a lot to a lot of people, and that's great. Anyway, that is my point. I don't want to turn this into a hate on Friday the 13th fest. Not at all. If I had to pick a favorite, it would be the remake. I think it's well made. It's entertaining. The kills are good. It does a lot to, explain the lore without necessarily being in your face about it. I know some people have problems with the tunnels. I don't. I know some people have problems with Jason, taking one particular girl hostage. I get it. But what's the point of doing a remake if you're not going to do something new? Anyway. Again, not the point of this podcast. It's not that I don't like the movies. I just didn't particularly need all of them boxed up together on my shelf. It's just not for me. And that's fine. A lot of people wanted it. They got it. They're happy with it. Some people are unhappy with it. And that's fine. Anytime you get these, viral posts of everybody talking about the same thing, the next thing that comes out are the haters and the complainers. I didn't go into any of these groups and comment on posts and just spew negativity onto them. That's just There are people that do that. I don't get it. I don't understand why. And let people enjoy things is sort of my mantra. And it's fine. Yes, it got a little annoying seeing the same posts over and over and over again. But, you know, so what? It takes far less energy just to scroll on by. But it did sort of get me thinking about what I could do and what would be a positive way to share my take on, you know, this pop culture phenomenon of that was, you know, the box set that was taking over. And I decided that a lot of people are spending $150 on this box set. I decided, since I am such a lover of low budget, self-funded, crowdfunded, etc., obscure genre films, that I should put my money where my mouth is instead of bitching about stuff. I should take that same amount of money that I might have spent on the Friday the 13th box set and spend it on physical discs of indie horror films. And not just any indie films, but again, like the same type, these obscure, low-budget, self-funded, crowdfunded level of filmmaking. So that's what I did. And I went online and said, hey, I have this idea. This is what I'm going to do. And I got a few suggestions. Others I just sort of thought of and found on my own. And I just started slowly ordering stuff from different sources, different sites. I ordered, you know, one or two things from Amazon, but I tried to seek out the underground distributors, you know, the ones that are less well known, and even in some cases films that were being self-distributed. And I really sought those out. And I think I got an interesting collection here. I have almost all the movies in, and that's why I decided to go ahead and do this podcast now. We'll get to it. There's one film that is still, you know, in the process of being shipped because it's from Shout Factory, and they take forever. I'm sure I'm not the first to tell you this. I love their releases. I love the discs, the special features. I think they do a decent job, but my God, their website is awful, and it takes them forever to ship anything. So rather than wait till for one final disc, we'll talk about it when I get to the end. I thought it's fine. I have, you know, 9 of the 10. I will just go ahead and do this now. So that's fine. So what I'm going to be doing for the next, I don't know however long this takes, half hour, is literally I'm going to be unboxing. In some cases I already have, but I'm going to be unboxing and taking the wrapper off and just going through these films that I selected one at a time. And talking about, for the ones that I've seen already, I'll talk a little bit about them, not the same way that I would for a full episode, but enough to sort of give you an idea of whether it's something you should seek out. And that's our show. So, I guess that's it. This thing's still on, right? I'm still recording. Okay. So, without further ado, drum roll. That probably sounds like shit. I don't even know if it's picking up. First movie on the list is from Mr. Drew Marvick, and it is Pool Party Massacre. This really doesn't take much to be summed up. And in fact, the trailer for the movie is about 30 seconds long, and that's really all it takes to get what's going on here. So take a listen, and then I will catch you back on the other side.
Yeah. Blair Winthorpe and her friends don't know it yet, but they are about to have the worst pool party ever. Pool Party Massacre, coming soon.
Okay. So that is Pool Party Massacre. You might have heard about it on the Modern Horrors podcast. I know that they are good friends with Mr. Drew Marvick. So this might be one you've heard of before if you're following me from over there. This is a neat disc. This one is one of the ones I mentioned that was being self-distributed directly from the Pool Party Massacre website. Highly, highly, highly recommend that you order it if you are a fan of physical media, if you are a fan of, you know, classic 80s slashers like Friday the 13th, for example. It's a great tribute to that. It's a great homage to that style of filmmaking. But, you know, more importantly, I mean, you're buying the disc directly from the filmmakers. So that has a number of advantages. Obviously, the proceeds go directly to the people who made the movie. I can't tell you how much of a boost that is. When normally you're buying movies through some major distributor, the distributor's the one making all the money. Now, the distributor take some risk in buying the rights and things like that? Yes, absolutely. But it's always fun when a filmmaker can, you know, bring his product directly to his customers or her customers, and that's what Drew Marvick has done here with Pool Party Massacre. It's a solid, professional-looking Blu-ray package. The cover looks fantastic. I'm just going to open it up here. There is, it's got a reversible cover with a bunch of alternate posters for the movie, you know, just sort of homages to some classic genre posters. The disc itself, you know, the disc itself looks amazing. It's all really, really cool. It's all professionally done. I mean, for God's sakes, there's an alternate poster on this reversible cover that is, you know, modeled after what looks like the old Friday the 13th video game packaging. I mean, it's just really cool. And inside my box, I got a couple of stickers, including one with a personal note signed by Drew Marvick himself. So, you know, who else can say that? When you buy a copy of Sinister, it's not like you get Scott Derrickson's autograph with it. It just doesn't happen. So, it's really, really cool. The movie itself is a lot of fun. It's not the kind of movie you watch to think about a lot. It's not highbrow entertainment. It's a dumb 80s slasher. It's got good practical effects. It's got perfectly disposable characters. It's not something that's gonna sit with you and, you know, be this, you know, epic journey. It's not Midsummer. It's just a fun, dumb slasher. That's the kind of thing I like. It's the kind of thing you can put on, switch off your brain. You know, I read some reviews of this where they're really sort of nitpicking some of the things, and I'm like, you're thinking about this way too much. It's really just being presented for what it is, just a piece of pure entertainment, and in that mode, it works. So, if that's what you're into, I highly, again, highly, highly recommend you check it out. All right, that's Pool Party Massacre. Number two, I'm not going to do the drum roll thing again. That was stupid. So, don't worry about that. That's gone. Okay, number two. This is one I found surfing Amazon late at night, and when this opportunity came up, you know, where I had the idea to buy all these discs, I decided that this was going to be one of the ones that I jumped on, and that is Junk Bonds, The Return of Junk Bucket. This is a Troma release. It is evidently a sequel to something called Junk Bucket. The original of which is included on the Blu-ray if you buy it, but I'm pretty sure that they sum up the plot of Junk Bucket for you in the opening segment of the trailer, which is also in the opening segment of the movie. So I'm just going to play that, and I think it sort of spells out what you're in store for. Oh, and a real quick trigger warning for use of the R-word.
On the afternoon of August 18th, 2008, seven young people in a Mazda pickup truck and a shitty Camry drove to a cabin in Paconomo, Washington to get drunk, high, naked, and fuck. Six of them were never seen again. The next morning, the lone survivor, Cassie Dayling, was found in her boyfriend's car, blood-caked and screaming murder. The girl babbled a mad tale. A bucket-headed mongoloid living in the woods, hacked off hoo-haws and bingle bangles, dolls made from human genitalia, her brother, her friends, castrated. Washington lawmen mounted a month-long manhunt, but could not locate the dickless retard. However, during the last year, over and over again, reports of bizarre, grisly, phallocentric murders have persisted all across the state of Washington. The Paconomo Junk Bucket murders have not stopped. They have grown. They seem to have no end.
And that is the intro to Junk Bonds, The Return of Junk Bucket. As you can probably tell, I don't think you're missing a lot by not having seen the first one. This is an homage, I suppose, to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is just heavy on the dick. There are so many dicks in this movie, and there are dicks in places where they shouldn't be, and there are even songs about dicks. I don't know if I should play a sample or just let you find out. You know what? Fuck it. Spoiler alert for Junk Bonds, but here is the closing credits song.
Yeah, he's got no cock and balls. Hanging down south, he's like a Ken doll kid. So his face, it grew another one. Hides it away with a skin-covered bucket. And you had better go hide. Cause he's coming for you. Yeah, he's coming for you.
Yeah. This movie's about a guy who had his dick cut off, so he grew another dick on his face, and then he covers it. He has a skin covered bucket, like Leatherface, that he wears over his face for like half the movie, until they finally reveal the dick on his face. Like this is some spoiler I'm trying to protect you from. If anything, this is going to get more people to watch the movie, I think, because it's just so ridiculous. And that's not even the grossest or the wildest dick joke in the movie. I mean, it's just it's called Junk Bucket. It's literally about a family of cannibals that cuts off people's dicks and eats them along with other parts of their body, I guess. But Yeah. There's some dick eating in this movie that is to be seen. It's fucking wild. And a guy who uses his nose penis to rape someone's ear hole. So I'm really, really happy, really proud to own this one. Actually, haven't taken the plastic off this one yet. I'm gonna do that now for the first time. This was another one that came from Amazon, or this was one of the ones that came from Amazon. seemed like the best place to get it. If you just want to watch it and you don't want to buy the disc, this one's easy enough to find as well. As is Pool Party Massacre, it's pretty, both of these are pretty readily available online. Junk Bonds is on Amazon Prime. I think Pool Party Massacre might be on Tubi TV. Or is it Tubi TV? Who knows? Yeah, so you can stream this one. You can stream Junk Bonds pretty easily. But I wanted to have this because it is a Troma release. So there are some special features on here. It has the original film, which I hadn't seen yet, and some audio commentaries, which I'm always interested in, particularly on movies like this with just an absolutely insane, ridiculous concept. I don't know how you in particular feel about Troma films. They're hit or miss for me, but this is one of the good. This is to me like the sweet spot of Troma. No, the acting's not great, but practical effects are a lot of fun, and it's just a crazy, crazy concept. But there's somewhat of a coherent story throughout. But you get plenty of nudity, plenty of gore, lots of dick. It's great. Packaging again is nothing particularly special. There's no reversible covers or anything like that, which is a little bit of a bummer because you could have done something similar with the tribute posters. But as it is, the cover art, a lot of the art around this movie is obviously leaning hard into the Texas Chainsaw homage. The tagline is "the family that severs parts never parts." And this is by Stephen Lang. I don't know. I don't know how you say that. I did very little research for this one. But yeah, it's a Troma film about a dick face monster and his family who like to cut off dicks and eat them. Dick Gyro, or Gyro, if we're being technical. That's it. That's the last thought I'm going to leave you with. Dick Gyro. Junk Bond. Return of Junk Bucket. Great film. Next. This is exciting. This next one was one of the ones that was recommended to me after my post. I don't even remember. I will try to give you a shout out online because I completely forgot. I don't have it in my notes here. I forgot who actually recommended this film to me. But when I asked for recommendations, this one popped up. I had never seen it. It seemed interesting, so it was a total blind buy for me. And it's called Day of the Stranger, directed by Tom Lee Rudder. This is a British acid western. So yeah, this is from Darkside Releasing, and I gotta be honest with you, I didn't know what an acid western was before I bought this, and now that I've watched it once, I still am not sure I know what an acid western is, but I like this. I need to watch it again, but I thought it was really, really cool. Again, it's not going to take home a bunch of Oscars, but it's something that was made for basically no budget over a period of several years. And to be quite honest, the cover art and the art on the disc And the story inside by the director that explains all the this process and all the steps they went through from inception and conception to finally getting this disc in my hand, it was worth the price of the movie just on itself. It's an incredible, incredible story. I'm not going to say too much about it, and I'm not going to say too much about this movie because I want to do a whole episode on it. I want to watch it a few more times. It's fascinating. Just the idea to me of a Western, you know, shot in the UK is interesting from my, you know, sort of Americanized perspective. But to do something this, you know, sort of crazy and stylistic is yet another challenge. So again, really, really like this. And again, that's Tom Lee Rudder's Day of the Stranger. I'll just read the description here. It says, A bounty retrieval gone wrong sees gun-for-hire Kane Farrowood face his toughest challenge yet as he comes up against a mysterious stranger who holds the key to the truth of his fate. Kane finds himself walking the fine line between the astral plane and a descent into hell as rushes of confused memories collide with interdimensional revelations about his passing soul. So, yeah, this is a wild one, folks. It's a weird one. I love it. The cinematography is gorgeous. Absolutely stunning. So, like I said, I can't wait to watch this one a few more times. Okay, so that one down. What's next? This next one is a double feature, and I'm going to go ahead and talk about both movies, but I bought it primarily for the first one, Camp Killer by Sean Jones. And again, I'm not going to say too much about it because I want to have Sean on the show as soon as we can figure out when to make that happen and talk about this movie. It's a fascinating one. This was pitched to me, not to me specifically, but I saw this pitched. That's a better way to say it. Try it again. I saw this movie pitched as My Dinner with Andre meets Friday the 13th. Okay. Right away, I'm sold.
Which brings me to the rake incident.
Creepy fucking Jesus, Jackie. Do you have to bring that up again?
Yeah, kinda do.
Why can't people put things away?
And then you just whack them with a log, right? Squish!
So yeah, Camp Killer is a meta slasher. Somewhat in a similar vein to something like Leslie Vernon, but where Leslie Vernon had the documentary conceit combined with more of a behind-the-scenes approach, Camp Killer picks up, for the most part, after the killing is over and follows our hero and our killer. And the whole middle act is really just a really fun conversation between the two of them. There are a lot of horror movie references, slasher references in that conversation. It's really fun. It's unique. It's the kind of film that sort of knows what it is, and it really gets into the lore. And, you know, it approaches things from a different perspective, or a different angle, I guess I would say, than Leslie Vernon. And I think it's the kind of thing where, yeah, you could say, well, you know, Leslie Vernon did it first, had a bigger budget, and did all these things. And Leslie Vernon's a great movie, don't get me wrong. I love that movie a lot. I just think there's room for both. I think there's room for, multiple bites at this kind of setup. So I really like that. So I picked this up, and it turned out to be available from Scream Team Releasing as part of a double feature with something called Maniac Farmer that I actually haven't seen yet, but I'm going to watch the trailer here in a minute. But let's just open up. The package. Here again, this is from Scream Team. A couple of discs I bought came from Scream Team. That's another good outlet for indie horror. Let's see. So this one includes a reversible cover, as well, which gives you, you know, a Maniac Farmer cover and a Camp Killer cover on the flip side, with the half and half on the outside. So this is two films on one disc, and So that's kind of fun. We've got some outtakes, making of things, director and actor commentary for Camp Killer. Not exactly sure what the special features are yet for Maniac Farmer. But again, Camp Killer is one that, if you want to get a little bit of slasher action and a little bit of fan service, it's done in a very fun way, in a very loving, respectful way for the genre. It's done with a lot of passion. You could tell Sean Jones really has a lot of love for the craft and for the, you know, the art of the slasher and, you know, the various lores and things like that. So it's a really neat one to check out. It's really fun. Doesn't really try to swing out outside of its budget too much. It knows what it is. It stays within its limitations, and it's a fun. It's a fun little ride. So that's Camp Killer. This next one that I don't really know anything about, but I'm excited to check it out. It's called Maniac Farmer. It says a group of street punks led by the murderous, blasphemous Rex meet their match when they choose to terrorize a seemingly helpless farmer who ends up turning the tides on the group, and the hunters become the hunted. Written and directed by Matthew Williams. So I don't know anything about this, but I'm just gonna watch the trailer right now, and let's see. Not a lot happening so far.
Helen? Helen?
Okay, this trailer is officially 50% violin stingers and a guy turning around and saying, Helen.
But the worst kind of evil?
The name of the movie in the song in the trailer. You can't see me, but I'm doing the Leonardo DiCaprio point from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So all right, I still don't know what it's about, but that trailer was pretty cool once the music kicked in, and this seems right up the alley for Scream Team, with the music and the sort of fun, you know, sort of goofy 80s throwback vibe. So that's Maniac Farmer. I don't know anything about it. We'll find out. I'll find out. I'll watch it, and I'll let you know. And maybe it'll be on the podcast someday. But that was just a little bonus movie that came along with Sean Jones's Camp Killer. So I'm excited about that. It's fun. Already doing this, and there's two titles that I probably wouldn't have discovered otherwise. So really excited. Up next, I like this one, and this is the perfect time for it. The next movie there I have in my hand is The Night Sitter. This is another fairly low budget affair, but it's got a lot of style to it. Written and directed by John Rocco and Abiel Brune. This one, I remember hearing from some of my friends, was shot in the Nashville area. And it's really cool. It's about it's another in, you know, sort of what is my favorite subgenre, which is, you know, the inept criminal, the criminal element who gets in over their head. In this case, it's a babysitter who is just, you know, they're really a babysitter, but they're really there to rob the house. She's more of a con artist, and then they get there, and some witch shit goes down, and it's Christmas. So this is a Christmas horror. I love Christmas horror. I love Christmas movies. I love Christmas. I love the season of Christmas. It's my favorite, and this is as good a time as any just to mention that I am kicking off a huge Christmas horror binge. I am going to watch as many as I can over the next month, and then I'm going to spend, you know, December really sort of counting down some of my favorites, some of the unseen gems that you don't really get to see. And I can tell you already, The Night Sitter is probably going to be on that list. This one is a lot of fun. It's got a really cool vibe to it, and this awesome synthy score throughout. Just take a listen.
There's something trying to get me. Three of them, actually. They find me in my dreams when I'm laying in bed at night. They're right inside my closet, waiting for me. To hurt me. I never see them up close, but I hear them whispering. And I keep moving towards them, but I don't want to. So I run, and I run, and I never look back.
All right, and that is from Roller Disco Massacre, and like I said, John Rocco and Abiel Brune. Filmed in Nashville. This is another one I bought on Amazon. It looks like it may be a print on demand, burn on demand type of process, which is a bit of a bummer, but really, it was the only way I could figure out to get a physical copy of this, and like I said, I really wanted it. This is what this was all about, so I bought it, and I'm going to check it out here. The packaging is, you know, not as impressive as some of the others. Again, this is Amazon, so, you know, it's not from, like, an indie label. It's from Uncorked. So, you know, we're lucky that there's a physical at all. But he wanted it, and I've got it now to add to my collection. And I'm really happy about that. And I can't wait to pop it in and watch it again. Yeah, this is a cool witch movie with, you know, these cat burglars and this sort of babysitting backdrop. It's a lot of fun. It sort of fits in that same vein with stuff like The Babysitter and Better Watch Out. Night Sitter could jump right in there. It kind of came out in the middle of all of those, so it got overlooked as a result of that, because by the time the third movie with the same concept comes along, people start to say, I've seen this before. But you haven't. Everyone has, you know, their own story to tell, and this definitely tells a different story, and I think they did a really good job with this one. I really like the practical effects. I like the use of lighting in this. There's some fun performances. The Night Sitters is a really cool one to check out. This is a good one to add to your Christmas horror. Good one to add. This is a good one to add to your Christmas horror collection. The Night Sitter. The Night Sitter. Don't miss it. Okay. All right, next is another really awesome film. This is a funny story that goes along with this one. But this movie is The Barn. And I need to be careful in recommending this one to you because there are a number of there are a number of movies called The Barn. This one is from 2016. You're looking for The Barn, directed and written by Justin Seaman. That's the version of The Barn you're looking for. There's a 2018 The Barn that I have not seen and I don't know anything about. And there is an earlier film called The Barn that I think is a documentary. So anyway, The Barn, this is set in the 80s, set in 1989. It's set on Halloween. This is a great Halloween movie to, again, to add to your rotation. I absolutely recommend that you do that. It's a Halloween movie. It's an 80s slasher. It's a heavy metal movie. It's all of those things. It's fantastic. I fucking love it. It's got a great 80s aesthetic. It's got that Halloween. It's got that Halloween aesthetic and vibe. It looks great. It's got, you know, this old time grain to it. And it's just, you know, a great fun throwback to those campy fall time slashers with, you know, with really good practical effects. And then also, you know, the sort of cheesy 80s CGI that was a lot of fun. People that like stuff like Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, that's the kind of vibe that they're really going for in The Barn. And I don't know, maybe a hot take, but I like The Barn way better than something like Season of the Witch. Just check out this vibe.
This Halloween.
Gotta stay away from the pup!
Trick or treat. Smell my feet.
It scared me to death.
And die. Starring Mitchell Mussolino, Will Stout, Lexi Drips, Cortland Woodard, Nikki Darling, Nicholas Joshua, and Richard Bullock. The Barn. Coming soon to video cassette.
So yeah, I mean, absolutely love that vibe, and you know, and check out the soundtrack. I mean, that's just cool. It's got a whole banging metal soundtrack. It's awesome. This one's a lot of fun. Again, it's more of that sort of throwback style. Now, the funny story about this is I also ordered The Barn from Scream Team Releasing. I ordered it at the same time that I ordered Camp Killer and Maniac Farmer. It was part of that same order. And then on the same day that that package arrived, I got this month's horror pack. And The Barn turned out to be the limited edition Blu-ray in the October horror pack box. So I got two copies of this movie on the same day. And as far as I can tell, I think the disc is the same. I think the only difference is the artwork. There's special limited edition artwork on the horror pack version. I haven't figured out yet if the content on the disc is different or not. I'll probably dig into that at some point. But I think at least the artwork on the disc and the artwork on the packaging is different. But then the version I bought from Scream Team has a reversible cover. So I don't know. I might just keep them both. I might sell one. I might do a giveaway with one of these. I'm probably not giving up the limited edition, to be honest, because I can always buy another copy from Scream Team. But yeah, this one's a lot of fun. Basically just, you know, sort of plays with urban legends and things like that. It's really just an excuse to get these, you know, sort of three supernatural villains to raise up and come after the group of horny teens that we're following. I mean, it's a pretty typical slasher formula, tried and true. It's just executed really, really well. And, you know, and that's all it needs to be. So The Barn, if you haven't seen it, definitely recommend it. Definitely want you to check it out. It's a lot of fun. The next movie is another one from Shout Factory. This one was almost a blind buy several times. It popped up on my radar when it was first released. And I hesitated and I hesitated. And eventually it showed up on a streaming service somewhere. So I gave it a watch. And I wished I had not hesitated. This is Exorcism at 60,000 Feet. This movie is really good. I was surprised. I mean, I know that Shout Factory, and this was, you know, released by Shout Studios. I know they have a good reputation, but, you know, I saw the kooky title, and, you know, somewhat, I guess I could say somewhat gimmicky casting. You know, we've got Bae Ling, Lance Henriksen, Bill Moseley, Adrian Barbeau, Matthew Moy. It's a little gimmicky, I'll admit, and sometimes those things just add up to a garbage fire. Just being honest. There are some movies that, you know, they'll try and get Lance Henriksen out for a day in a small part just so they can put him on the cover. And that may have happened here, where he just came out for one day, because he's a significant character in the movie, but he's not in it a lot. So they could have shot all his scenes in a couple of days. And a lot of times, you know, that just sort of disguises a weak film. But here, no, it really adds credibility, I think, to an insane story. And I feel like this is pretty much exactly what you think it's going to be. So, again, let's take a look at the trailer.
I must warn you, Hercules. I'm a trained assassin with the ferocity.
You out of your freaking mind? No! No, that would be suicide.
Everybody always in grave danger.
Americans always trouble. Big troublemakers.
So, yeah, like I said, this one is a whole lot of fun. I'm sad that I slept on it for as long as I did. The story is pretty ridiculous. And really, I mean, I can sum this movie up. It's really The Exorcist meets Airplane. That's really what it is. It follows an exorcist story, but it's not just an exorcism on an airplane. It knows what it is, and it actually has a lot of fan service to a lot of fan service to the movie Airplane. In certain terms, there's a lot of references to Airplane. There's a lot of references to other horror movies. It's very much in the vein of like a Scary Movie type of film, but, you know, also on a plane with those airplane gags and then, you know, an exorcism storyline. So it's great. Lance Henriksen is great. Bill Moseley is fantastic. Adrian Barbeau is great. Bai Ling and Matthew Moy are both hilarious, as you would expect them to be. Everybody's really doing their job here, and you can really tell that everyone's having fun. They're just having a blast the whole time, and it looks like a movie that really wasn't too expensive to make. Most of it takes place on the airplane itself. And, you know, there's just the whole cast of passengers. There's, you know, the evil spirit that's just sort of bouncing from passenger to passenger. And the priest is just desperate to try and figure out, shit. All right, well, no worries. No worries, Jake. Jake Parker, that sound that you just heard was the DVD, which had come loose inside, falling out of the case. The Blu-ray is fine. This is a Blu-ray DVD combo pack. So only the DVD was potentially damaged there. So that's no great loss. The Blu-ray disc is just fine. So yeah, this is a two-disc combo pack. It's got fantastic artwork here on both of the discs. Another reversible cover. There's an alternate cover art there on the inside. And I again really, really recommend this one. It's really funny. Exorcism at 60,000 feet. I had an absolute blast with this. I think you'll like it. The DVD looks pretty cool. There's it's Shout Factory. So there's a ton of special features in here. Behind the scenes, cast and crew interviews, a look at the practical effects. There's also some hilarious CGI going on in here. There's a whole feature with Bill Moseley. It's good stuff. There's good stuff here. I'm real excited about it. And the cast, like I said, is just, it's just stacked with good, fun performances. So check it out. Exorcism at 60,000 feet. If you like horror comedies, if you like slapstick, horror slapstick, if you like Airplane, if you like Scary Movie, and you want to see all that stuff kind of mixed together with a dash of Exorcist, you don't want to miss this one. Okay. And now, lastly, the last disc that I have, this is another Shout Factory. Big shout out to Shout Factory, because that was a big chunk of my orders here. Although I think this one, some of these did not actually come from Shout Factory, which is why I have them already. So the last one that I have today here is a movie called Gravy, and this is one that really, really went under the radar, and I don't understand why, because it's really well made and actually seems pretty expensive, mostly because of the soundtrack. I don't understand how they could afford a lot of the music that they did. So this one definitely swings above its weight class. Got great performances from actors that you'll recognize, like Michael Weston and Jimmy Simpson. Sarah Silverman is in a couple scenes. It's really stacked, and it's a lot of fun. It's got another great Halloween vibe. My buddy Jake Parker, who I shouted out just a minute ago, he loves to watch this one for Thanksgiving, because it is all about eating and having a big feast, and there's a bunch of people coming together to eat a big meal. That meal just happens to be people, because of course takes place in a Mexican restaurant that gets taken over by cannibals. Give it a listen.
Here's the skinny. We have got a variety of wacky activities on the docket for tonight.
Meow.
The stage has clearly been set for an old school pseudo-European gangster style slumber party.
Pseudo.
Seriously, like we're not good enough for the real thing?
We're gonna eat you guys. The raw, the cooked, one at a time, until we are so stuffed we can barely move, because we are. It's our tradition.
Every eve of every hour.
Tonight's not really about roughage.
I don't play these games. This is some sick white people only shit.
It's turning into a snooze fest. We've killed like two people.
Okay, yes, that is Gravy, and the tagline is, "You are what we eat," directed by James Roday, and yes, it's about cannibals on Halloween, coming together for a big feast. You might recognize James Roday from the TV show Psych, and that's, I think, where he gets a lot of the other cast and crew that worked on this film. The concept is outrageous, the performances are amazing and hilarious. The kills are inventive. There's tons of gore. There's tons of macabre and inappropriate subject matter. It's a fantastic horror comedy for the holiday season. And I can't believe more people haven't heard about it. And I can't believe that a bigger marketing effort wasn't made to promote this film. So yeah, this is another one here. Comes with a nice slipcover from Shout Factory, if that's the kind of thing that you're into. Just get it opened up here. And yeah, another reversible slip or another reversible insert with an alternate cover. It's always fantastic. And the art on the disc itself looks great. So, yeah, I highly recommend this one. It's a lot of fun. Again, great holiday viewing. Get some friends over and watch it. You won't regret it. I mean, this is a hidden gem. This is the kind of thing, this is the kind of movie you bring your friends over for. They've never heard of it. Maybe they don't, you know, they don't watch a ton of horror. Even people who don't watch a ton of horror but can stomach a lot of the gore and violence, as long as it's presented in a fun, over-the-top way, I think they'll be able to handle this. And they're going to go home talking about it, because it really is, it's really good. And I'm just surprised that more people haven't heard of it. Luke Rodriguez and I discovered this, and we found out that it was an annual tradition for Jake, and he sort of realized that because we hadn't heard of it before, that it was kind of underseen. So now, you know, Jake is talking about it more and recommending it to people. Luke is recommending it. I am. We all are. You know, all three of us. You know, the three of us have wildly different tastes in movies, and all of us like this one a lot. So chances are you're gonna love it. It's a lot of fun, and you should absolutely check it out. Again, it's called Gravy. So that sort of completes those. Those are the 9 movies that I have in my possession today as I'm recording this. There is one more that I'm waiting for that is coming from also from from Shout Factory. And it is 2009's The Hills Run Red. This was a blind buy by me, also based entirely on the recommendations of Luke Rodriguez and Jake Parker. And yeah, again, this is another one that is really underseen sort of by this podcast's standards when you go look at it on places like IMDb and Letterboxd. So I'm going to watch the trailer in real time right now, and let's see.
Four friends are searching for a horror film that's been missing for 20 years.
Okay. I mean, no movie just vanishes without a trace.
But nothing can prepare them for the final cut.
Why the movie? Why is it so important to you?
Because people said it's the scariest thing they've ever seen.
Looks like it's, you know, sort of part found footage and part narrative, which is interesting.
Everybody is expendable for the good of the film.
It looks kind of meta and somewhat grounded at the same time. So that's interesting.
Oh my God, what was that?
The Hills Run Red. Coming soon on DVD.
Okay, so that's The Hills Run Red. I'm excited about that. I don't know that much more about it than before, other than, you know, it's a movie about people finding a movie, and it looks like they're maybe making a movie, and then it looks like they maybe become part of the movie. I don't know. I'm not sure what's happening there. But I'm excited. That's literally like the most I found out about it until before today, and I'm excited for it now. It's already, like I said, it's already on order, so hopefully it'll get here soon. That'll be an even 10 films. I spent just slightly over the 150 budget that I set for myself, but that's okay. And I got 10 movies out of the deal. For probably around $160, a little more maybe when you add shipping, because I'm shipping these in from different sources. If I'd done it all on Amazon or something, I wouldn't have been able to get some of these titles. So it's worth it to me to support indie horror. That's an important mission of mine. I'm happy to, you know, come on this podcast and talk about it, quite honestly. And the exciting thing is there are several more films to base episodes on down the road. And because there's some insane stuff in here. Junk Bonds is one that's been on my list. I was already going to do an episode on that. And quite honestly, I should have these physical copies if I'm going to do an episode. It just I think shows, the respect and, doing your homework. I did, since the last episode, did, sort of cure one of my oversights, which is that I did go out and pick up a copy of number one Serial Killer. Unfortunately, only a DVD is available, but a DVD is better than nothing. And I always have the high def version on digital anyway. But now I have the DVD, so that's fun. I can you can check out. There's some behind the scenes stuff on there. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's definitely one that I hope you guys will check out. And please stay tuned. There's more fun stuff coming this way. I have some interviews lined up, and I'm going to be talking about some films that are, maybe a slight order of magnitude bigger than the films I've been doing so far to date. And it does somewhat go against, the rule or an informal rule that I set with this podcast, but I'm going to do it anyway for a couple of reasons. One of the two movies that I'm going to talk about is already a cult smash hit. It has grossed back many, many, many times its budget. It's one of the most profitable foreign films of all time. And people are talking about it, but they're not talking about it the way that I want to talk about it. And what I mean by that is all of those other podcasts and YouTube channels and all those other things are really just bringing it up, singing its praises, and then saying, don't find out anything else. Go in blind. Go in blind and just watch it. Which I agree is great advice, and that's going to be my advice as well. And you'll find out when the time comes. And that goes for any movie on this podcast. any movie on this podcast. If I'm doing an episode on it, that means I think it's worth your time. You may want to listen to the show to kind of get a better feel for what you're getting into, and I totally respect that. But if I didn't think it was worth discussing and worth people seeing, it wouldn't be on the show. I'm not doing a show just to talk about movies for the sake of talking about movies. I'm doing this because there's something I think to be learned, there's something of value, or maybe just a really good time to be had by watching the movie. It's as simple as that. And if you're into the things I'm into, then I think you're going to like it. So that sort of goes without saying. So with that being said, I want to get into and really spoil this movie and talk about some of the details and some of the things that I feel when I watch it. And I'm going to be doing that with a special guest. And that's all I'm going to say about it right now. I'm real excited for it. I think you're really going to enjoy it. It's going to be a really special episode. I'm really looking forward to it. And then later on down the road in November, I have another filmmaker that I'm going to be talking to that has written and directed and released a smash hit cult film. One of the most talked about films of the past year. And it's one that easily could have been like any other film on this podcast that has stayed below the radar. And for 99% of movie fans, it probably still is below the radar. It's in that 1% cult status compared to most of the films that I'm talking about here, which are in the 0.1% cult status. So I think it'll be fun to kind of talk about the experiences of that film taking off, and maybe we'll learn some things along the way. That's what I'm hoping. I don't know if it'll happen. I don't know how it'll turn out. But I'm real excited about that. And that's all I want to say about that one, too. But so stay tuned. That's going to be a really big show. I'm really excited for that one as well. So there's some good big stuff coming your way. I mentioned earlier the Christmas horror. I am going to be watching a lot of Christmas horror. I'm going to try to get some of these filmmakers on the show to talk about their movies. It's not going to be exclusive. I'm not going to kill myself to try and get, you know, specific shows to hit certain dates and things like that. I'm just going to roll with the punches and put out the content that I'm able to put out and not put a bunch of pressure on myself. And, you know, hopefully you guys roll with that as well. And some things will line up great and the timing will be perfect. And then, you know, in other cases, yeah, it won't really make any sense, but that's okay. Yeah, this is supposed to be just a fun creative outlet for me and not really something that I'm trying to put a lot of pressure on myself to, you know, hit certain goals and achieve certain things. So, but that having been said, I mean, there will be, you know, some more Christmas movies coming down the pike. Ones that don't get talked about, maybe some that are relatively new that don't have that cult status yet. I may do like an overview of some of my favorite Christmas horror at some point. I'm still, you know, sort of playing with what that's going to be. But all that and more are coming your way from Not Suitable for Anyone. Please stick with me. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And I'm really glad that that you guys are listening, and I hope you're, you know, if you're enjoying the ride along with me. So last week I gave you guys homework. I'm curious how you did. I'm really serious. I really think it'd be awesome if more people just started reaching out directly to podcasters through, you know, whatever their social media of choice is. If you're not on social media, most podcasters have an email address. You can send them an email. I know that they would love for you to leave a rating and review. I hear, you know, podcasts all the time asking for ratings and reviews. I don't really ask for that for me. If you want to find me, you're going to find me, and people are going to find me, and you're going to pass it around, and eventually, you know, there's going to be, you know, sort of a core audience, and I'm not too worried about that. If you want to leave a rating, you want to leave a review, that's great, and I appreciate that, and I will read every single one of them, and I'm grateful and appreciative for every single one of them. But I'm not going to come on each week and, you know, and beg you and ask you to rate my podcast. But I am going to start coming on each week and asking you to give feedback, rate, review, respond, reply to the other podcasts that you listen to. As I guarantee you, the ones that are much bigger than mine, still, they watch those numbers jump up, and it's sort of the law of averages. You still don't necessarily get a level of interaction that's comparable to, you know, the size of your audience. You know, maybe 1% of people will respond directly to you for something that you said on your podcast. So I want to bump that up a little more. So I really want you guys to go out, and when you're listening to podcasts, and just reach out to those guys and gals, and just tell them that you enjoyed their show. You know, leave them a rating. Whatever you can do. You know, like I said before, I promise you'll make their day. If you want to reach me, as always, and you can find me on Twitter, the show's Twitter account is at NSFAPod. That's NSFAPOD. You can find me directly at FinHorror. And you can email the show at notsuitablepod@gmail.com. Thank you. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.